wishing all Radio Aryan listeners a happy Christmas and a diversity-free new year.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioAryan.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 10th of December, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, just a couple of weeks to go now until Christmas, and we've had 4 weeks of riots over there in France. I do find it entertaining that the Prime Minister of France is calling for unity. And it does actually seem to me as if France is actually united in their distaste for President Macron. They are united in wanting to get rid of him. Apparently both the left and the right are taking part in these protests, and you've also got the Black Bloc, anarchists, Antifa. They're the ones that are setting fire to things and causing the criminal damage, but it really does look like you have got all the working French united against Macron. And we really could see Macron step down by Christmas. And I think we could also see Theresa May gone by Christmas as well. We have to keep following that this week. I believe she's got a vote in Parliament on Tuesday, which it does look like she's going to lose that vote. And what is she going to do after that? Well, hopefully she will step down. I don't know who we could have as Prime Minister. Boris Johnson's been putting his name into the fray. And I did notice when he was being interviewed on Sunday morning for Andrew Marr, and I noticed that he had his tie on in a rather a strange way. And I've noticed this with Donald Trump before, with a very long tie so that it sort of almost hangs down to his knees. And Boris Johnson was wearing his tie in that same way, and he had his hair all ruffled up, and it just looked to me as if he was trying to look like Donald Trump. And of course, if you cast your mind back a couple of years, he was pretty scathing about what he thought of Donald Trump. And once Donald was elected, he seems to have changed his tune. I'm really not sure what to make of Boris Johnson if he puts himself in for Prime Minister. Obviously, he may look white, he may have pale skin, but he's actually part Turkish, he may actually be part Jewish. He doesn't have loyalty to the white race, he just has loyalty to himself, I think. I'd like to see Jacob Rees-Mogg as Prime Minister. But I don't know if he's got enough support. We'll just have to see what happens. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about today is really concerns the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn. A lot of people say, well, Jeremy Corbyn, he's supposedly an anti-Semite, but he's certainly not a nationalist, and he's not certainly not an anti-Semite in the way that nationalists are. He just basically talks to the Palestinians and tries to be even-handed as far as the Palestinian versus Israel dispute. But besides that, he's pretty much an extreme communist. He really is, and we don't hear that much about that because the anti-Semitism row sort of takes over everything with the Jews that control the newspaper and that control the media. They seem to want to concentrate on that all the time. But there's also these ultra-Marxist connections that he has. And you can see that in the people that he selects to be part of his cabinet, Diane Abbott as a shadow home secretary. I mean, how could you have How could you have someone who isn't even white that is responsible for the immigration policy of Britain? I guess the Conservative Party have done the same with Sajid Javid. But Diane Abbott, she's a committed Marxist. She's extremely anti-white, far more anti-white than Sajid Javid is. And he's pretty close to Bolshevism, Jeremy Corbyn is. And what I'm going to talk about today is one of the people that he's put forward to be a member of the House of Lords. And this article comes from the Daily Mail. Back in March 1990, Haringey Labour Party voted by 26-10 to deselect Martha Osamor, the hard-left former deputy leader of the much-troubled local authority. Martha Osamor was a black supremacist. Miss Osamor would be barred from standing again as a Labour councillor in the borough. The deselection came after what Haringey Labour officials had called unsatisfactory answers that she had given to a financial probe. The investigation concerned the unexplained withdrawals and expenditure of more than £100,000. Now bear in mind, that's almost 30 years ago. It's probably worth a lot more than that now. It may even be close to £1 million now. The investigation concerned the unexplained withdrawals and expenditure of more than £100,000 in Haringey local authority grants, which reports from the time said had been awarded to community organisations of which Miss Osamor was, or had been, treasurer. So this was a trend that followed her about. Whatever organisation she was in, there would be unexplained withdrawals of money. Corruption, basically. This is what we see all over Africa. With the African administrations. They are all corrupt, and when they come to Britain, they just continue the same behaviour. Some of the money had been spent on men's clothes, cigarettes, alcohol and dog food, it was alleged. That's a lot of money to be spending on that. Miss Osamor denied any wrongdoing. She said she had cooperated with the investigation and claimed that she was the victim of a political witch hunt by Labour moderates. It was reported that the police were called in, but no charges were pressed. There was no evidence to suggest she had acted improperly or had been party to any financial irregularity. Miss Osamor said that she would appeal against her deselection, but the National Labour leadership stepped in to ensure that she was ousted. And that was that, as far as her frontline Labour Party duties were concerned. Aside from an unsuccessful legal attempt to prove charges of sexism, racism and nepotism against New Labour grandee Lord Irvine, and the irony of nepotism charges will soon become apparent, Miss Osamor faded into relative obscurity. And this is pretty predictable that anybody black that is asked to step down will then take out a court case or a tribunal and allege that it was racism that got them fired. It's one of the reasons why people are a little bit loath to employ Negroes, because they know that if they do, there's no way they're ever going to be able to get rid of them without being charged with racism. Until this week, that is, when the woman who once advocated the revolutionary overthrow of capitalism appeared in ermine-lined red robes to take her place in the House of Lords. Has there ever been a more remarkable comeback? The 78-year-old black grandmother is one of only four nominations Jeremy Corbyn has made for a life peerage since he became Labour leader in 2015. Like the other two incoming Labour peers who joined her in the House this week, Ian McNicol and Pauline Byron, Baroness Osamor's elevation is on the condition that she will vote for the abolition of the House of Lords. So not only is he elevating Negroes with questionable backgrounds, communist Negroes, extremist leftist Negroes to the House of Lords, they are specifically being put in there so that they can vote to abolish the House of Lords. Her political history suggests that she will be only too happy to oblige. One suspects the ermine is mere camouflage for the Marxist guerrilla fatigues beneath, and that at some point in the future, the robes will be cast aside. For the moment, however, She is to be known in full as Baroness Osamore of Tottenham in the London borough of Haringey and of Asabar in the Republic of Nigeria. And that is actually her title. I'm not quite sure what Asabar in the Republic of Nigeria has to do with England and the House of Lords. To party insiders, the picture of a rather grim-faced Baroness Osamore in all her finery is another reminder of the wholly unexpected seizure of the Labour Party from the centrists and Blairites who had held sway before Mr. Corbyn's leadership by a tiny hard-left faction. Well, the picture of this Negro wearing the robes of a lord is another reminder of how the traitors in power are doing all they can to replace white people in this country, which is far more concerning than the fact that the Blairites don't control the Labour Party anymore. It's far more worrying that we've got Negroes in the House of Lords than what's going on in the Labour Party. And they're making a big point of this. You know, they will be very proud of this fact that they've put a Negress in robes and sent her into the House of Lords. Never mind that that's the cultural appropriation that's involved in that. The Labour Party has told the Mail that Baroness Osamore and Mr. Corbyn met in 1977 when he was a Haringey councillor and she was a local black rights activist. Who could then have envisaged the events of this week? And there we see she's a black supremacist. And this is what all of these black politicians are like. If you look at David Lammy or you look at Diane Abbott, the only time you ever hear from them is when it's an issue to do with blacks, when it's to do with Negroes. And they're championed for that. They are cheered on for speaking up for their own people. And I don't see anything wrong with them speaking up for their own people, of course. But why aren't we allowed to speak up for our people? Where is our local white rights activist? Where are the organisations that are speaking up for white people? Oh, yes, they get accused of being racists. We're not allowed to speak up for ourselves, but apparently we encourage other races to speak up for themselves. Could we have any better evidence that our country is occupied by a foreign force, that it's been handed over willingly to people that want to replace us? The elevation to the peerage of Baroness Osamore, who last night declined to comment to the Mail and instead directed our inquiries to the Labour Party, is only the long twist in the long, colourful, scandal-mired saga of her remarkable political dynasty. You see, there are three generations of Osamores at Westminster. Cumulatively, these Corbynite ultra-loyalists are entitled to draw as much as £250,000 a year in salary and allowances from the public purse, but not all is well. Just think about that. They're being paid £250,000 a year to advocate for black interests and try to get white people punished and accused of being racist. This is why I say the accusation that white people are racist is just not true. Why are, you cannot say that we're racist if we're paying Negroes £250,000 a year to be activists for Negroes and to agitate against white people. Last Saturday, the new Peers MP daughter, Kate Osamore, who was elected to the safe Labour seat of Edmonton in 2015, resigned from her front bench post as Mr. Corbyn's shadow international development secretary. So Corbyn had put this black female in there to be responsible for international development, responsible for spending Britain's money in Africa. That's what she'd be doing if the Labour Party were elected. Well, she quit after it was revealed that she had known about drugs charges against her son Ishmael Osamore somewhat earlier than the Labour Party had claimed. In October, Mr. Osamore, 29, was convicted of intent to supply £2,500 worth of drugs at last year's Bestival Festival in Dorset. He was caught with cocaine, ecstasy, ketamine and cannabis 9 months before he was elected as a Labour Party councillor in Haringey, the same authority from which his grandmother was ignominiously ejected as a councillor 28 years ago. And what does this tell us? This tells us that it doesn't matter what you do for these other races. They will still revert to their criminal activities. And you couldn't say that somebody had been given a better start in life than to be put into power as a Labour Party councillor, to have been brought up by politicians all their life and groomed to be a politician themselves, and yet they still just can't help themselves. They still have to go to a festival and try selling thousands of pounds worth of drugs there. It's like these Negroes that become actors, become Hollywood superstars, and they still have to go out and drug young white girls and rape them. People like Bill Cosby, people like the American football players that are always getting caught doing this. You cannot change their behaviour. The blacks are not the same as whites. They don't think in the same ways that we do. And they tell us that they don't think in the same ways that we do, but we just ignore it and pretend that they do. Young Mr. Osamor was gifted his safe seat on the council after the deselection of Labour councillors who had been deemed insufficiently Corbynite. So he was just handed a seat on the council, and yet he still had to go out there and sell some drugs. His criminal case only became public because there was a journalist in court when he appeared for sentencing in Poole this October. Thus exposed, he had to resign as a Haringey councillor after only 5 months, during which time he had rapidly achieved cabinet rank. So he'd been shot right the way up to a top position just in 5 months of becoming part of the Labour Party, quite clearly because he was black and because he was related to this family that are friends with Corbyn. But he remained in his £50,000 a year post as a senior political aide, described as chief of staff, to his mother at the Palace of Westminster. He also kept his security pass, and that caused a new furore. But the Osamors would not budge further, and funnily enough, the Labour leadership declined to intervene. So even though he's now got this drugs conviction, he's still there at the Palace of Westminster. I guess it would be racist to ask him to leave. Then, thanks to a legal application by newspapers, including the Mail, came a new revelation that Kate Osamor had written a letter to the Dorset court asking for clemency for her son. Labour had said she knew nothing about the case until after sentencing. So there we got deceit there as well, as if she didn't know that her son had been in court for drug dealing. When last week a reporter from The Times called at Kate Osamor's home to question her, she told him she should have come down here with a bat and smashed your face in. Charming. And this is somebody that's now in the House of Lords threatening to smash a journalist's face in with a baseball bat. She also told journalists to F off, threw a bucket of water at him, called the police and accused him of stalking her. Well, we do know something about these journalists stalking nationalists, so I dare say that they were actually stalking her, just the same as they stalked Ben Raymond and tried to doorstep him when he didn't want to speak to a journalist recently. Within 24 hours, she had stepped down from the Labour front bench, saying she wanted to concentrate on supporting my family. But there was no apology for her behaviour. Some have questioned her suitability to remain as an MP, let alone on the front bench. Her supporters claim she is the victim of a racist and sexist media campaign. There you go. It's racism and sexism to think that drug dealers shouldn't be put on the front bench. Oh, I guess it's her son that's on the front bench, but she lied about it and said that she didn't know about it when she did. When under fire, she can always turn to her battle-hardened mother for advice, and this is the one that's just been promoted to the House of Lords. Martha Osamor was born in Nigeria, so she's not even British. She wasn't even born in Britain. She was born in Nigeria, trained as a teacher, and came to the UK in 1963 to be with her husband, who was studying here, and obviously never left. Future MP Kate was one of four children Miss Osamor had before her husband died in a car crash. Life as a single parent on a council estate in Hornsey, North London, was a struggle to make ends meet. Racism, she has said, was an everyday challenge. Miss Osamor became involved in radical community politics, joined the Socialist Workers' Party, and helped found the United Black Women's Action Group. So she says racism was a problem. How can she say racism was a problem when the British people allowed her to come into the country and marry somebody, another Negro that was just studying here? And yet we let the pair of them stay. And what did she do when she stayed? She founded the Black Women's Action Group and joined the Socialist Workers' Party. In an interview in 2015, she recalled she hadn't liked Labour because it was not radical enough. But because the party had the power to change the situation through elected representatives, it was better to be in than out. How can we just allow people to move into our country and then start agitating to gain political power and then actually give them political power, give them the ability to be deciding the direction that the country should be going in? I mean, this is ludicrous that we just make anybody a citizen and give them the right to have a say in the way that the country's run when they had nothing whatsoever to do with actually building the country. They're not the posterity of the people that built the country. They're the posterity of the people that ruined Africa. Just take a look at the main cities in Africa, the countries in Africa, to see what Africans are going to bring to Europe when we allow them into Europe. They're just going to turn Europe into Africa. So in the early 80s, she joined and became an ally of Bernie Grant, the black leader of Haringey Council, although Osamor would later lambast him for being a moderate sellout. In 1981, she helped found the Broadwater Farm Youth Association to improve conditions for black youth on a sink estate in neighbouring Tottenham. A driving force behind the group was Jamaican-born Dolly Kiffin. Both women would come to prominence and eventually verbal blows in the wake of the October 1985 Broadwater Farm riot, which was sparked by the death of black resident Cynthia Jarrett during a police raid. PC Keith Blakelock was killed during the ensuing night of mayhem. Now, PC Keith Blakelock, the white police officer, I mean, they practically chopped his head off, these Negroes did, when they got hold of him. And she's basically defending these people. In the aftermath, Martha Osamor became treasurer of the Broadwater Farm Defence Campaign, established to support Winston Silcott and two other local men who were convicted and later cleared on appeal of the Blakelock killing. So she's raising funds to support the people that were accused of killing a white police officer. I mean, this woman really hates white people. You cannot say that she's grateful for being allowed to come into Britain, because all she's done is agitate against whites and campaign for Negroes. In April 1986, Jeremy Corbyn was a speaker at one of the defence campaign meetings chaired by Osamor. But Osamor's star was still in the ascendancy. She became vice chair of the Black Sections pressure group in the Labour Party, which sought greater representation and a, quote, black perspective, unquote, on all issues. So what she's saying there is that on absolutely everything that the Labour Party decides, she's there to give the black perspective on it. Why don't we have somebody there that's giving the white perspective on the Labour Party issues or the Conservative Party issues? This woman is just concerned with blacks, basically. And that's what that's perfectly natural. So why is it seen as unnatural when whites are concerned about the white perspective? What about the white perspective of all this immigration that's coming into our country? What about the white perspective on laws which impinge on our free speech and our ability to speak about the issues that are harming white people? Osamor made no secret of where she stood in the wider battle being fought between the Benites and militant entryists of the hard left and the reformists of the centre and right, then led by party leader Neil Kinnock. By early 1989, she and others were under the spotlight in an investigation by the borough auditor in Haringey, and there was the scent of a looming scandal. In the wake of the Broadwater Farm race riots, Haringey Council and bodies including the government and the European Community had pumped millions of pounds into the area to speed up regeneration and reconciliation. So just look at that for a minute. Millions of pounds were pumped into the area after the residents of the area rioted and practically chopped a white policeman's head off and murdered a policeman. And what was the response to that? The response to that was to pump millions of pounds in there. The Negroes got together and set up a defence campaign to raise funds for the people that were accused of the murder. And then this Martha Osamore is accused of corruption and spending the funds on other things. But to just think that they're actually rewarded for this, they weren't punished, they were rewarded. And this happens every time there are race riots, and it's happening right now with all the stabbings and the acid attacks that are going on in London. You've got people like Sadiq Khan that are saying, well, we need more money to be spent on the black youths, and that will stop the stabbings. It won't stop the stabbings because that just comes naturally to them. Again, all you have to do is look at the tribal wars that go on in Africa to understand why there is so much violence in areas that have diversity. Diversity is not a strength. Diversity creates the conditions for civil war. It's never been a strength. Just look at the way that Stalin, once they took over the USSR, what did he do? Well, he started moving populations around. What happened when Sargon and the Babylonians went into Canaan in 500 AD and 700 AD? What did they do? Well, they removed the population from Canaan and removed them to Assyria. And they swapped some people from Assyria and put them back down there in Canaan. And this idea of moving populations around has never been done as because it would be a position of strength. It was always done to prevent people from getting together and realizing that they'd actually been occupied. It's something that is done when you have a foreign group that have taken power over your country. Then they start moving the populations around, which is what the European Union is doing. The European Union is a foreign organization that's been given sovereignty over Britain. That's why they are moving people around. Diversity is not a strength. Large sums were given to organizations in which Martha Osamore and her fellow activist Dolly Kiffin held positions of financial authority. The council called in the police after its auditor noted unexplained withdrawals of £104,000 out of £240,000 worth of council grants. So it's half the council grants were unaccounted for. The withdrawals were unsupported by receipts, it was claimed. The auditor then reported that the money had been spent on domestic items and airfares. Dolly Kiffin received a suspended sentence at the Old Bailey in July 1989 for perverting the course of justice in relation to the alleged misappropriation of £500,000 in grants from Haringey, the Greater London Council and the Department of the Environment to four Broadwater Farm-linked organisations. So four of these organisations that were just there to advocate for blacks, this money was just being siphoned out of them. She had failed to hand over accounts, claiming that they had been lost in a flood in Jamaica. What were they doing in Jamaica? The jury heard that some of the money had gone on a hairdressing course for her daughter. And this is just like the corruption charges that you hear about in Africa, where politicians just spend all the money on their families. The country's money, that is, not their wages. Osamore would face further censure by the Labour hierarchy. 2 weeks after the local party voted for her deselection, Labour's National Executive Committee imposed its own ban on her standing as a candidate because she had campaigned for non-payment of the controversial poll tax, which was against party policy. But you can't keep some political ideologues down. And now she is back and right at the heart of power, elevated to the House of Lords by her old Haringey communist comrade, Mr. Corbyn. 3 decades after an accounting scandal led to her being cast out into the political wilderness. So not only are we being replaced in the House of Lords by Negroes, but they're communist Negroes as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Corbyn. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.